Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Lonely Hearts Club here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this sort of is the Lonely Hearts Club. A friend of both Carla and Louie named Sharon Walsh sent us these personal ads from an Irish newspaper. These are real things, we think. I'll just read you a few. Grossly overweight Louth turf cutter, 42 years old and 23 stone. What's that, 500 pounds? Gemini seeks nimble lady, preferably South American, for tango sessions, candlelit dinners, and human nights of screaming passion. Must have own car and be willing to travel. Box 0908. Following a sad recent loss, teetotal Tipperary man, 53, seeks replacement nanny. Must like biscuits and answer to the name Minnie. pretty specific. heavy drinker, 35, Cork area, seeks gorgeous woman interested in pints, Glasgow Celtic Football Club, and starting scraps on Patrick Street at 3 in the morning. Box 73. Devil worshipper. Devil worshipper, O'Fally area. Seeks like-minded lady for wining and dining, good conversation, dancing, romantic walks, and slaughtering cats in cemeteries at midnight. This is good. Limerick man, 27, medium build, brown hair, blue eyes, seeks alibi for the night of February 27th between 8 and 11 p.m. This is good.
Those are beauties.
Seeks alibi. Why not? You could advertise.
Well, I think they're wonderful. Unlike the answers you're about to get to your questions in a few minutes, but if you can't do without a wrong answer, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dee calling from Washington, D.C.
D-E-E?
Correct.
From Washington, D.C.?
Correct.
Cool. Okay. Are you a lawyer or a politician?
I'm neither, but my husband's a lawyer.
Oh, man.
And he's out of work, so we needed a second car, and we didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I bought a 1987 red BMW 325 from my mom's neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I would get to wherever I was going in this car, and when I got there and came back to the car to leave, it wouldn't start. So I would open the hood, and not really knowing much about, well, anything about BMWs, but thinking that I knew a little bit about cars, I thought, well, I'll just see what's what. I couldn't figure out anything under that hood, of course.
Hmm.
But I didn't see a battery, so I opened the trunk.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so I opened the trunk, and I thought, well, there it is, but, you know, it looked fine. So I just sort of jiggled the cables. They were firm, and I was stumped. And so I thought, well, I can't just stand here. So I walked back around and tried to start it again, and it started.
When you closed the trunk, did you slam it?
I didn't close the trunk until after it started.
Oh, great.
So I haven't closed the trunk yet. The trunk's still open. Now, I also, but I did before I drove away, of course. But, you know, when I tried to start it, it didn't give me any click, and it didn't give me any, like, a roo, roo, roo kind of noise.
Absolutely nothing. You turn the key,
right.
And it's
right.
Dead and, silence.
And when you turn the key a little forward, you know, like before the car's going to start, but in just one of those positions between, the radio didn't work.
Mm.
So that's why I thought maybe it was the battery.
Did anything else work? Did you try anything else beside the radio?
Nothing worked.
Did the lights come on the dashboard?
I don't remember.
Was the dome light on when you opened the door?
I don't remember.
These are all important questions, Dee. Yeah,
and
I'm
you
so
failed
sorry.
On every one of them.
If you can't answer these questions, how can we help you?
You
well,
may have to
I was
be
so
disqualified.
Proud of myself because I opened
you
the trunk.
None of
the
trunk. And you found the battery. I mean, that's brilliant.
Well, usually.
I often wondered where they had those batteries.
Well, it continued to happen a few times. It's very sporadic. Now, it's not happening as much, but it still happens maybe once a week.
Well, see, the fact that the battery looks so good is largely due to the fact that it's in the trunk.
Oh.
So it doesn't get water splashed on it like the battery's under the hood.
It looks like it looked the day it was born.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's what's inside. I mean, I look as good as the day I was born. It's inside that I'm a I mean, people look at me and they think I'm 25 years old. Inside. Oh, God,
so
there's
much.
Such a rotten mess going on in there.
So I think it's likely
that
you need a battery.
Yeah,
really?
And I mean, no lights came on, right? No. Once you got it started, the charge light wasn't on?
No.
You probably need a battery. And it could be something simple. If the battery is relatively new, if it's not one of those batteries that is sealed up, it might need water.
Okay.
Spray the hose on it. See what happens.
Okay.
Maybe it's not a battery that is done for forever.
Okay.
And it may be retrievable, but I mean, the place to start is to have the battery load tested.
Load tested.
Load. They put lodestone on it.
What?
Don't know.
No,
I'm making things
don't
up here.
It's time to say goodbye now, Tommy. Say goodbye to Dee.
Okay.
Thank Dee for calling us.
Goodbye, Dee. Thanks for calling us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Pat McCann from North Tonawanda, New York.
Pat, you're on our staff.
I know. You're a sexual harassment counselor.
That's you, man.
So what's shaking, Pat?
Hey, wanted to catch up with you guys and talk about my 95 Chevy Lumina APV. And I'm notorious for running out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
But lately I've been running out of gas, and it's just not my fault. Three or four times in the last year, typically on a long trip and highway driving, I'll run out of gas and there's still gas left in the tank.
How do you know that?
When I fill it up, the first time it took 16 gallons and it's a 20-gallon tank. And the second time it took about 15 gallons. So I had 5 gallons left.
So how did you conclude that you're out of gas?
Stop running.
Yes. And, you know, you put your foot on the gas pedal and...
But how do you know it didn't stop running because the stars were wrong? I mean, are you why do you blame it on the gas?
Well, being one who has run out of gas before, you get to know that feeling.
Yeah. And once you, as long as, what do? You get towed or you go with a 5-gallon can somewhere and you get gas, you pour in a couple of gallons of gas and it starts right up?
Yes. And then I drive to the gas station. Or sometimes, actually, if I just sit there long enough, after a while, it'll start right up, and I can chug my way at half a mile or a mile. Now, this is a two-part problem. The first part...
So, wait a minute. Pat McCann.
What? Yeah.
Pat. So, would you accept that you're not really justifiable in blaming gas as the problem?
So, you could be running out of spark.
You could be running out of all kinds of things. You could be running out of steam.
but if you ran out of spark for whatever reason, but when you add gas, it starts. I understand that.
But time always passes, so it may
not
be time that's the
always
problem.
Always passes. Sometimes I just happen to get lucky, and it does this. You know, a mile from an exit that's got a gas station, and I can almost coast there and put gas in, fill it up, and get back in, and it's running.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can drive it. You can continue to drive for another couple
another
of hundred
couple
miles,
hours, another few hours,
and it's all right then.
Yes, and it's okay. I mean, the first half a tank, well, the first 5/8 of a tank. Now, it's good. But
all
when
right,
I get down
right.
to that bottom part,
all right, we give.
You're probably running out of gas then.
Thank you.
Jeez. All right, take it easy on us, will you? Give a guy a break.
And I'm wondering.
Oh, and we're just out of time.
Wait, have you asked anyone to look at this?
I've looked at it.
You've looked at it.
That didn't do much good. I filled the tank up. I looked at the tank. It was still there.
When was the last time, for example, that you changed your fuel filter?
I had a major tune-up 40,000 miles ago.
Well, you could have a clogged fuel filter.
That could be.
That's
you could easily have a weak fuel pump. Have you ever noticed if you're driving the truck at any speed, but in under quiet conditions with the windows rolled up, for example, that you can hear a humming noise coming from the back of the vehicle that's not coincident even with its moving. In other words, with
very
the engine,
very faint, like, hey, same tone.
No.
You know, fun. Do you ever drive on unimproved roads?
Yeah.
Well, here's a guess.
Yeah,
and
go
it's
for
only
it.
A guess.
Nice question, man. Nice question.
Good, yeah, too bad the answer wasn't good, but the question's good. It's a possibility that you have struck the gas tank with something like a boulder or a tree stump or a raccoon or some such things that has stove it in. Is that the right tense of the verb?
Stoven.
Stoven. Stoven it
pushed
in.
Pushed in the bottom of the tank.
So that, in fact, when the tank is an eighth full, you're not really getting the gas out because the area where the pickup is has been pushed up because of some impact.
Ooh.
Ooh. So it may be that, in fact, that's happened, and that would explain everything.
And then I just have to learn to live with it and fill up at a half a tank.
Well, you could live with it. But I, at the very least, I would have someone look at the tank to see if this, in fact, is true, and then you can send us the Genius Award.
Yeah.
If it isn't true, then you can choose to live with it. But before you do that, you should change the fuel filter.
Okay.
With 40,000 miles, it might be dirty. And you should ask them to check the fuel pump pressure.
Okay.
Pat, we wish you the very, very best.
Well, listen, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Appreciate your help.
Take care.
Thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kirsten calling again from Bethesda, Maryland.
Hey, we talked to you last week.
That's right.
You were going to get the car stored someplace. You were going off to some crazy, well, Kosovo.
Kosovo, the jewel of the Balkans.
Jewel of the Balkans.
So last week, Kirsten called us, said she was going off for an indeterminate amount of time in Kosovo.
Right.
To do some, you were doing some spy work, CIA stuff. We're not sure what it is.
Yeah.
But,
and she was mostly going to have coffee with Silvia Pajoli.
But the government has offered to put your car into storage, your 86
Honda CRX.
You remember that?
You got it.
Jewel of the Nile.
86 CRX.
That's right.
And you were so worried about this that you were concerned that our government wasn't going to do a good enough job taking care of your 86 Civic.
Right.
So we asked you to find out what they're going to do to it, store it.
All right. Now, before you tell us.
Yes.
My guess was.
Yes.
This is not Stump to Chumps, but my guess was they were going to park it and hang the key up in a little box. And when you came back, they'd hand you the key back. That was my guess.
Yeah.
And how close was I?
Well, it's the exact opposite, actually.
Oh, really? The government?
They're really going to take care of it.
Tell us.
They're going to do everything we suggested, right?
They're going to do nothing you suggested. They're really doing they're really doing the exact opposite of what you guys said.
Really? What are they going to do?
Well, they keep it in an indoor, climate-controlled, humidity-controlled facility.
That's good.
Really?
They start it once a month, and they get it up to its optimum operating
temperature,
exactly.
Yeah.
To flush out the condensation in the engine or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
They said they don't put it up on blocks because that would stretch the strut suspension. They keep all the fluids in, and they do periodic maintenance on it. I talked to the guy at the storage facility myself.
You mean like they change the oil?
Well, they told me to get the oil changed just before I bring it to
them.
Right,
and they'll go ahead and change it every 3,000 miles thereafter.
Well, obviously. They move it within the facility, so it's not sitting on the same spot on the tires for the 2 years. And the guy who works there is a classic car collector. It's a father and son operation, and he sounds legit.
I can say only one thing.
What's that?
What a country! Well, and you know what?
That's
the fact
good.
That it's in a temperature-controlled and humidity-controlled environment means that the brakes aren't going to rust.
Mm-hmm.
Cylinders aren't going to rust.
Yeah, the emergency brake cables aren't going to freeze up. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And I think that, you know, the average person can't do this. So that's why we recommend doing other things like sealing the tailpipe and all that and sealing the intake, which won't have to be done to this because it's in the right environment.
Yeah. Hey, can you answer a question for me?
No, we already answered one.
No, it's a debate between my intended and myself.
Yeah, is he coming with you, by the way?
Sorry?
Is he coming with you?
He's actually the main reason I'm going, yeah.
Oh, he's there already?
He's there already, yeah.
Mm. Oh, is he a Kosovian?
No, he's an Iowan.
An Iowan?
Yeah.
An Iowan in Kosovo. I think I saw that. Wasn't Gene Kelly in that?
Bing Crosby, too.
That great 30 slapstick comedy.
Yeah, so what's the question
Here's
for him?
Here's the question. It's about this CRX. Is the CRX a sports car or not? Because... Oh, you're going to side with him, aren't you?
A sports car?
It's a two-seater. It's red. It's low to the ground. It's a sports car, right?
Sure.
Hey.
Whatever you say. I think it's a sports car.
Yeah, okay. It's a sports car, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. As soon as I hang up, you're going to make fun of me, aren't you?
No.
No, we already did. We do it right to your face. We don't have any compunction. Hey, Kristen, I wish you the very best.
Thank you.
And if you come back for Christmas, drop us a line.
Thanks, you guys.
Bye-bye.
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 Okay, Tommy, look, it's time for us to take a little break and give our listeners a chance to stretch their legs.
And readjust their earplugs.
We'll be back in a minute.
Now we're going different directions along parallel lines.
There's a sign on the highway warning trouble up ahead. It reminds me of your phone call and the angry words we said. Traveling together, we were free and all was well. Now I'm a lonesome prisoner locked up in an 18-wheeled cell.
And even though lifelong Navy officers reach for the Dramamine whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here, of course, to talk about cars, car repair, and reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Well, you could call it that. We got this from cyberspace, and we think it's stuff that sounds like Richard Lederer's stuff.
Go just
so
read it.
We'll give him credit for it, even if he didn't write it.
Why not?
It's answers that sixth grade kids gave to a history test. This is real answers. This just shows you the quality of education that's going on in this country today.
Go ahead. We don't even know
what the questions were, but here's one answer. Delegates from the original 13 states formed the Contented Congress. Thomas Jefferson, a virgin, and Benjamin Franklin were two singers of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, really? The duo act.
Franklin discovered electricity by rubbing two cats backwards and declared, "A horse divided itself cannot stand." Franklin died in 1790 and is still dead.
Really? Like Lawrence Welk?
Like Lawrence Welk is still dead, too. Here's a, Abraham Lincoln became America's greatest president. P-R-E-C-E-D-E-N-T.
Yeah.
Lincoln's mother died in infancy. And was born in a log cabin, which he built with his own hands.
Wow, what a guy. No wonder he became president.
Johann Bach wrote a great many musical compositions and had a large number of children. In between, he practiced on an old spinster, which he kept up in the attic. Bach died from 1750 to the present. Bach was the most famous composer in the world, and so was Handel. Handel was half German, half Italian, and half English. It's like a show.
Show three halves. What a guy.
He was very large. That's why he had three halves. Beethoven wrote music even though he was deaf. He was so deaf, he wrote loud music. He wrote loud music. He took long walks in the forest, even when everyone was calling for him. Beethoven expired in 1827 and later died as a result. Louis Pasteur discovered a cure for the rabbis. He was Jewish, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Darwin was a naturalist and wrote The Organ of the Species. Madame Curie discovered radio, and Karl Marx became one of the Marx brothers. You have to admit.
I can't help but think that a few of those have been a little contrived. But anyway, if you have something you find amusing or interesting and you'd like to share it with us, you can mail us stuff at Car Talk Plaza, Interesting Mail Department, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email us stuff from cartalk.com. In the meantime, we'll be happy to try to answer questions about your car or anything else you want to discuss.
Anything.
We haven't done well with the car stuff, so we should branch out a little bit. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255, a lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Larry from Los Gatos, California.
Oh, is that how you say that?
Los Gatos.
Gatos. Los Gatos.
Los Gatos.
Those, yeah. The cats.
The cats.
So what's up?
Well, I have an 88 Acura Integra with 160,000 miles on it, and I was having the oil changed, my bi-yearly oil change.
Mm-hmm.
And while it was up on the lift, the person who was changing the oil pointed out to me that the CV boot was cracked,
yeah.
Damaged.
Mm-hmm.
Exposed. And I said, well, okay, what do we do about this? And they said, well, you know, you have to replace the axle. And I said, well, can't we just repack it with grease? No, because once it's open, then the grease is out, and if you just repack it, then the thing will wobble and it'll never work, and it'll freeze up, and you'll go around in tight little circles.
Was this was this one of those quickie oil change places,
no.
Or was it your regular mechanic?
No, well, I don't really have a regular mechanic.
But it was a real repair shop.
It was a tire store that also does oil changes.
And they also
sell axles. Right.
Apparently, they'll do whatever you need done. If I had needed foot surgery, they probably
just bought a trailer load of axles.
It wouldn't surprise me anything that they had done. So I said, well, it seems to me that there's grease in there. I can see it. And they said, well, no.
No, it can't be grease.
It looks like grease, but it's not
really. It looks like grease, but it isn't really grease.
Right, it's really roadkill.
So I said, okay, what's it going to cost to replace the axle? And they said...
$300.
Yeah, right, exactly. $240. And so I'm thinking, okay...
But don't forget the tax and gratuity. That's
$300. Gratuitous was what I was thinking. So I'm thinking, okay, well, does the other side have to be done also? And they said, oh, yeah, if one side is open, the other side is going to crack. So I'm thinking, okay, $90 for the CV
boot. These guys are good.
So anyway, I'm thinking, all right, $90 for a CV boot, 90 times CV boot on either side, 180 or $240 for all new parts. And so I said, well, okay, sounds like a deal. Go ahead. And they said, well, would you like to do the other side? It's like... Now, in my simple mind, an axle goes from one wheel to the other.
No.
Not on this car.
That's on your little red wagon.
Yes.
But
right.
Axles,
which is what I'm
your
driving
radio
around.
Flyer.
Your radio flyer. But axles don't go from one wheel.
No, it's one axle on each wheel.
What you have between the two axles, you have the transmission and the differential.
Which they also wanted to replace.
Why not? Because if you put a brand new axle sticking out of an old transmission,
might leak.
God knows what'll happen.
Yeah.
Woof.
So, boy, you were a live one, Larry. Well, no, I was a potential live one.
Oh, but you told him to do one side.
I said, hold on a second. Let me go make a call.
Yeah.
I have to.
Is this the call you made? You're allowed one call, and you called us.
And I've been on hold for 2 months. So I went and talked to someone who had replaced something else in the car, who I got a real good, solid feeling from.
Yeah.
And he said, is it making noise when you turn the wheel? And I said, no.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, no matter what's happened, even if that thing's cracked open, if you're not hearing noise, you can just always repack it and it'll be fine. So he said, come back and bring the car into me and I'll check it out. And if we need to replace the CV boot, we will. And if you don't need an axle, you won't. So I went back to the shop. And my car is back up on the rack, and some fellow's taking the wheel apart. And I said, wait a minute.
Whoa.
Yeah. I said, I didn't authorize you to do this. She said, well, you left. You never came back, so we just figured we'd do everything.
Ooh.
I said, well, undo it. Put it back together. broken the way that it was. I don't want to do this here.
Yeah.
And she looked so hurt.
Yeah.
But
taking food out of the mouths of her children.
Something.
Yeah. Larry.
Something. But anyway, they didn't do it, and I did bring the car into this other fellow, and he turned it around in tight circles and said, no, it's fine. We'll just repack it. $90, you're out the door. And my question, I guess, basically is...
Oh, there was a question here.
I thought you were going to say, we just repacked it. That's $240.
No, $90. He said, look, you can leave this other one alone until it cracks, because it will eventually. And I guess my question is, should I just be preemptive about this and go ahead and have the other CV boot replaced and repacked and all that stuff and not have to go through this horror, not this horror of talking to you. This is terrific.
I mean, if someone is in fact getting under the car biannually to check the oil, then that's plenty of an interval for looking at the CV boots.
So when the other one does tear open,
somebody will see it.
Okay.
And your regular earlier guy mechanic is correct, was completely correct. The first guys were complete, shall we say, unscrupulous. They had just taken the course in how to sell. Everything they told you was a lie.
If you had looked carefully, you would have seen the semi that delivered the axles pulling away as you were pulling in.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you had to replace the axle because the boot was torn was a complete and outright lie. Uh-huh. The fact that you had to do both sides was a complete and outright lie.
I'm intrigued.
And the fact that they started taking it apart without your approval was absolutely unscrupulous and illegal.
Illegal?
The lying is not illegal.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm intrigued by the fact that they almost had you convinced. I mean, can we go back to that part of the story?
Do we have to?
Where did they lose you? My brother's trying to learn something.
Yes, where did they lose you?
It wasn't so much that they lost me on anything they were saying was that my Visa card had a limit of $240.
And I think allowing him to make a phone call, that was a mistake. Can I make a phone call? Absolutely not. Either we do it now or that's it.
Well, you see, I told them I had to make a phone call because of a time constraint that I made believe I had to go pick someone up. I did not have time to do it. So they I fooled them.
What a tangled web.
And, of course, if you look at it from their point, in order to assist you with your time problem, they got right on the job.
Yeah.
They wanted to make sure that whatever problem you had, they were there to help Larry.
Yeah.
God bless them.
They were there to facilitate and to expedite.
Yeah.
And you rewarded them by saying, put my car together, I don't want to...
I have told a lot of people to go in there because they have a $10 oil change on Thursdays only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have those $10 oil changes for no reason.
No, I think what they're doing is they take the oil from the first car and put it into the second car.
Oh, they didn't say it was new oil. They just said it was changing the oil in your car.
Like the Italian army changing their underwear.
Right.
You heard that
joke. Giuseppe, Luigi, you guys change with each other.
Good luck, Larry.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
See you later.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello, hi. Who's there?
This is Melissa Peterson from Seattle.
What are the chances of this? Years ago, we had a young lady with the same name. I think she was from Seattle, too.
She was from Seattle,
who was the
too.
Biggest pain in the neck caller that we've ever had in our entire career on the radio.
She was, like, at the time, 14 years old or something like that. And all she did was castigate us for being stupid, loud, ridiculous, inane, sophomoric.
You know, I think I remember her.
Yeah,
she
I'll bet
so
you do.
Right.
How old are you, Melissa Peterson?
I am 19.
19. So that was about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No!
Is it really you, Melissa?
Yes, it really is.
You little pain in the butt. How are you?
I'm a big pain in the butt now. But
you
I'm awesome.
Are. You're an actual woman now.
Yeah.
You're probably a college student.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go to school?
I'm going to be going to the University of Washington.
Okay, we'll write them a letter and tell them about you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, thank God she's staying out in that coast.
Hey, just tell me one thing. Do you still hate us as much as you used to?
My feelings for you have kind of matured a bit, but
now you can't
haven't
stand
improved
them.
Any.
They haven't improved, but they've matured.
How about the dog? Does the dog still hate us?
Yes.
I think your original letter stated that your dog hated us even more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the P.S., right?
P.S., yes. And my dog hates you, too.
You've got the same dog.
You still have the same dog. So what prompted you to call us?
Well, actually, I have a question for you.
No kidding.
Really?
So you want to just, like, use us and toss us aside?
Yes. Are you all right with that?
Well,
we admire your candor.
Yeah. You are honest. I will say that for you. You were kind of cute, actually, as a 14-year-old.
Well, thank you.
I found myself hating you less after we met. Because Melissa, didn't we actually pay for her airplane ticket and she came here to...
You did.
Yeah, you came to our guest.
Sweet.
You were a live guest in our show.
She was.
You made a comment about every single question we answered. Mostly negative, I believe.
All negative, yeah.
And we had the good grace to take you out to dinner afterwards.
Yeah, you tried to get me to eat calamari.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were hoping to make you sick for the plane ride home. And then I remember that you broke my pipe.
I did not.
You did too.
I stole it. I didn't break it.
Oh, you stole it.
She stole it.
Yes, I had a corn cob pipe.
That you spent a lot of money for.
I spent $1.99 for it, Nini's. And Melissa stole my pipe. Do you still have it?
No.
Okay.
Melissa, I'm honored that you called us.
Well, wait and see what she wants.
Well, what do you want?
See, I got a motor scooter about 2 weeks ago.
What kind?
I got it at a Suzuki dealership.
So you bought it brand new?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a motor scooter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my dad, he, like, rode bikes when he was a kid, and he thinks it's the coolest thing ever. And he's like, yeah, you're going to have so much fun on this thing. My mom worked in the ER for a while and saw motorcycle accidents,
mm-hmm,
and she thinks I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how dangerous they really are. Who's right?
Well, you know, this is a tough one. If I loved you, which maybe your mother does, but probably nobody in the world does.
Hey.
Well, you're a mean, rotten little kid. What do you want? Look, here's the deal. Your mother is absolutely right. Man, these things, they are so much fun. I understand. I had one once. They are really a lot of fun, but they really are dangerous, and your mother is absolutely right. Have you driven a car for long?
Yeah.
How long?
About 4 years.
How many accidents have you had in that time?
None.
How many have you caused?
None. I'm a very safe driver, thank
Where
you.
Are you going to use this thing, on the streets of Seattle?
Yeah. It's not fast enough for the freeway.
But you'll be riding on the same streets that are used by trucks and buses.
Yes.
Yeah, gee whiz. I have to... Wait, but you bought it already.
Yeah.
Your mother allowed you to buy it?
Yeah. Well, it's on my dad's credit card.
And now she's telling you that you shouldn't drive it because it's too dangerous?
Well, she's not telling me not to drive it, but she's doing like the mom not saying anything, but you know what she's thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Man, I would hate to see anything happen to you, Melissa. Who could hate us as much as you do and be so honest about it? Oh, no, we get more mail than we need in that area, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, I would say enjoy the motor scooter, Melissa.
No, your mother is really right. They are terribly dangerous, only because you have absolutely no protection. And even if you think you're a good driver, it doesn't really matter that you're a good driver because no one else is.
And they're especially dangerous in inclement weather,
mm-hmm,
which you get a lot of in that neck of the woods.
Don't do it. I really don't want you to do it.
Man.
You can mail it to me, though. FedEx will deliver it.
Yeah. My brother's been looking for a scooter. He'll give you $200 for it.
So if I was your daughter, I wouldn't have one?
Oh, absolutely not. If you were my daughter, and I have a 19-year-old daughter minus 5 years, then... And she's about the age you were when you first told us how much you hated us.
And interestingly, Anna hates Tommy also.
Just as much as you did.
Oh, more.
Maybe more.
Oh, it's downright vitriolic.
She refers to me as a crazy old man. And that's sort of what you said to us 5 years ago. Don't drive it, really.
Okay.
All right.
And Melissa, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to hear from you because
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, nor can I. See you, Melissa.
So long.
Bye.
She sounds like a perfectly nice young lady.
Yeah, don't let that fool you.
19 years old.
Yeah. Pretty good, huh?
A little twerp.
All right. It's time to take a short break.
How short?
Real short, like just a minute.
Oh, too short for a nap.
Right, exactly.
I'll have to nap during the next few calls instead.
Well, I'll let you know if anyone notices. We'll be back in a minute, we hope.
You know my starter won't start this morning. Boy, my motor won't even turn. know my starter won't start this morning. Boy, my motor won't even turn. You know I've been running with a fair class of women. Now they've called my little Carteron.
And even though the NPR lunch lady mixes up two Ipecac milkshakes whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used puzzler. Now, as both of our listeners
Pre-owned puzzler.
As both of our listeners know, every summer the puzzler goes on vacation.
Sure. Leave us here to sweat over a hot microphone, why don't you?
Well, but if you're one of those people for whom a week just isn't complete without a Car Talk puzzler, here's a what do you got to do.
First, seek professional help. Seek professional help.
Or go to cartalk.com where you'll find this week's classic puzzler from the Car Talk archives. And we always welcome your puzzler suggestions for the next puzzler season. Coming to you... this fall. And you can write to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. Or, of course, you can email them to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-8277-7825555. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Susie Blaylock from Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Susie.
Uh-huh.
Muscle Shoals.
Uh-huh.
Is it Susie with a Z?
It's Z-I.
Yeah,
S-U-Z-I. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh. Susie. And you're not from California?
No. I'm from the South.
And your name is S-U-Z-I. Uh-huh.
Well, it would be S-U-Z-E-E from California.
No.
And your parents are not from California?
No.
S-U-Z, leave her alone, will you?
All right, I'm just checking. Jeez. I mean, when I run across an anomaly, I think it's an opportunity to find out something, to learn. And as you know, I'm always trying to learn.
You are a nudge.
So, Susie, ¿qué pasa?
Well, I have a 1990 911 Porsche.
Do you?
A C4, a Carrera 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem with it. It runs fabulous.
Good, because you had a problem, we wouldn't have the slightest idea.
See, I don't even know where the engine is in that car.
It's in the back.
I don't think it matters.
It's somewhere.
They have one.
Under the seat or something, yeah. So what can we help you with, Susie?
Well, the problem is I'm a doctor in a small town.
Yeah.
And this car has really given me a lot to talk about with the other men doctors.
Exactly.
You know, we didn't have a lot in common. And so it's a real good icebreaker, but the trouble is they never ask me anything I know about the car. And so I'm kind of like short on the conversation end.
Oh, right. You have the car, and they say, oh, really, have a turbo? And you say, I don't know.
Well, they never ask me the gas mileage.
Stuff that you do know about.
So you want something to talk about.
Right.
And you called us, huh?
Uh-huh.
Hey, fill us in. Tell us about the car. How many cylinders does it have? Is it front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive?
It's four-wheel drive.
Four, huh? Which four?
What size is the steering wheel on? It's on the left or the right?
This is an interesting...
that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, did you buy the car specifically so you could have this link...
I drove. I bought it because it runs fast and drives fabulous, and you just feel really good when you're in it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Let's see. I'm trying to think about how to help you. Have you read the owner's manual?
Well, yeah, but, you know, other than going to, like, all those car magazines and flashcards.
That's what you need to do, unfortunately. You need to start subscribing to Road and Track or Car and Driver or one of those magazines.
Yeah. But see, they don't make any sense to me.
Well, that's all right.
Oh, but they will.
They will. If you figured out all that hip bone connected to the thigh bone stuff, you can figure out this. I mean, this
is that it? Hip bones connected to the thigh bone?
Well, that's all.
Bones connected to the brain bone?
Yeah, if you figured all that stuff out, you must have figured out most of it,
sure.
Right?
And it's all mechanical stuff, and this is mechanical stuff. You can figure it out.
And you can also join the Porsche Car Club of America.
Yeah. That's an abbreviation.
Yes, I got it.
I was just hoping there'd be some, like,
give us an example of a question that they would ask you.
Well, they ask, like, how many horsepower is it and how fast it'll get to 60 and how fast it'll stop.
Sure, this is all stuff that's pure memorization.
Yeah. Exactly what you need is the reprint from the test that was done in Car and Driver and/or Road and Track when this car first came out. Gives you all of that stuff.
See, and these,
and then you can lie about it. In addition, if the thing says it's 0 to 60 in 6.2 seconds, you tell them you do it in 5.
Yeah, you can elaborate on all these numbers.
So I should just, like, say all that stuff regardless whether I know what it means.
Oh, don't forget, they won't have any idea either, because they know less about all of this than you will floor them. If they say, how's the car? You say, well, I think I got a little miss in number 5. They'll be done for. They won't have the faintest idea what the hell you're talking about, and they will be so impressed. They'll say, wow, that's Susie. Does she know her car? Not only does she know the entire human body, the hip bone that connected to the thigh bone, but she knows about turbos and misses in number 5 and all. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Phew.
Okay.
And I would just throw in little stuff that you know is going to be so far beyond
and
them.
Tell them you're thinking of having a turbo installed. That'll blow them away.
Yeah. And you ask them, just turn around, do you think I can add a turbo to this? They won't have any idea. And tell them, you know, mention things like bore and stroke. Oh,
okay. Woo,
powerful stuff. Because don't forget, all the guys that you hear talking about stuff like this, they don't know anything about what they're talking about either.
Oh, okay.
All it takes is one, however, to expose you. Remember that.
Sure, that's
so
okay.
Be careful.
The likelihood. Look, how long has it taken us? Are we exposed yet? No.
Well, just from the waist up.
Good luck, Susie.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Andy. I'm calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Andy.
Heard of it.
What's going on?
I have a 91 Infiniti Q45A.
Hmm.
And the A is being my problem, the active suspension.
Oh.
You're not going to like this. Whatever it is, you're not going to like it.
Right. Oh,
but go ahead, describe the problem.
It normally works fine, but in the last 3 weeks or so, what's been happening is you'd be going down the highway. Well, actually, you turn the car on, and the car raises up off the ground about an inch. Or the tires actually stay on the ground, but the car raises up an inch.
Get out.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would be really cool, wouldn't it? Then you could just give it a shove, and you'd be there in no time.
And that's the way it's supposed to drive normally, and which it normally does. But what every once in a while, the light will come on. You'll feel the car drop back down to the parking position.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll pull over to the side of the road, shut it off for a minute or so, start it back up, and you'll feel the car raise up again, and I'll be on my way.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I will say one thing, that we have never worked on one of these.
Yeah, we've never even seen one.
No, we have driven one.
But we will give you the definitive answer.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we have no idea how it works. We don't know what it is.
It's a hydraulic system, if that does
it. It's a hydraulic system. Yeah. It obviously has a pump. And it's able to change the suspension height depending on the load that you have in the car. And I believe you can also change it with buttons that you have on the dash to control what kind of a ride you get.
Yeah,
to.
Can't you put it on sport or whatever?
There's two settings. There's low, and then there's like gravel road, which raises the car even higher.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't buy this car new.
No, I bought it used.
And you didn't recognize that this was broken.
No, it didn't happen for probably 5,000 miles or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I drove it. It worked fine for 5,000 miles, and it's really, it doesn't happen often.
And when it doesn't work, what do you notice insofar as your ability to drive it?
It's just you feel a bump a lot harder. than you would otherwise.
Feel the bumps harder. Well, first of all, I don't think anyone's going to fix it except the dealer.
Right.
Right. See, I'm a suspicious kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that it worked for a few thousand miles suggests to me
that someone jury-rigged
that the thing's got a leak in it.
Someone patched it up with duct tape.
No, they just filled up the hydraulic oil, and the thing is leaking out, and they put enough in there so they knew that they could relocate before you found out that. This is the reason this guy sold the car, Andy. He took it in to the dealer. And
the dealer told him, as we did when you first called, you're not going to like this.
The estimate was so bad that the service rep passed out.
Well, the 60,000-mile service had just been done, and the active suspension hydraulic fluid had been topped off. And I check it all the time, and I'm not losing anything. I have no leakage marks.
Oh, really?
Where I parked the car.
Well, then it's probably the pump.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like I said, we've never worked on this. We don't let these in the garage. In fact, if one of these is on the appointment sheet, I get three or four guys who put in for their vacation.
Yeah.
They don't want to work on them. So you're going to have to take it to the dealer and bite the bullet. And if you're lucky, it's something simple, but I wouldn't expect it to be.
I was thinking maybe like a relay or something. And it's kicking off.
I think it could be. Sure.
No, it's not a relay. It's hydraulic.
I'm going with the relay.
I'm going with hydraulic fluid.
Andy,
yes.
Go for the relay.
All right.
A relay would be cheap.
Yeah, $29 and you're going to be back in business if you can find it. Good luck.
All right.
Let us know what it is because we like to learn, you know?
Sure.
See you later.
I'd be glad to. I'll give you guys a call back.
Thanks,
all right,
Andy.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See, this is one of those features that when you see it, you say, do I really need this? And if you had the choice of buying it, would you actually pay extra money for this?
Well, they don't give you – well, you do get a choice.
You do get a choice because you buy the A as opposed to buying the Q45. And so it sounds like, gee, what a great idea. And then it breaks.
Oh, yeah, no.
And then you realize, I never needed it in the first place. I don't know what the hell it does. And if I never had it, I would never miss it. But now it's going to cost me $3,000 to fix it.
Oh, if he's lucky, it's three.
Yeah.
Either it's going to cost him $39 or $3,000. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melissa from Philadelphia.
Oh, not another one.
We've already had one Melissa.
Oh.
She was a previous caller.
Right.
And she was a real pain in the butt.
And we tried to get rid of her the last time, and we couldn't. So
if you notice a little edge in our responses to you, it's only because we're still suffering from the first Melissa encounter, and it has nothing personally to do with you.
Okay.
Yet.
Well, here's the situation.
Yeah.
I have a...
What do you want? Oh, I'm sorry.
I have a 1995 Hyundai Accent. It's an automatic. Mm-hmm. And my mother drives a 94 Subaru something or another. I religiously use my overdrive button on, off, 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
She, you know, upon learning that she even had this, it didn't sufficiently motivate her to use it.
Yeah.
So my question is, what benefit am I giving my car that she's not, or conversely, what damage is she doing by not using hers at all that I'm not doing?
What makes you think that the damage benefit matrix should be in your favor?
Well, I don't think she suggested that.
I think so. You did suggest that.
I did suggest that.
Oh, you did.
I mean, I can seriously feel if I don't turn the button, when I brake, my car bucks a little bit. So it's important to me to use it. And I can feel, you know, that there's pressure in...
Yeah.
When I don't use it correctly, I can feel the car changing.
Well, you're crazy.
We should explain to the other. We should explain to our other listener that what Melissa is doing is disengaging and engaging the overdrive, and thus either making the car drive in with three gears only, or allowing it to shift into the fourth gear. I believe this thing is a four-speed automatic transmission.
You're lucky it has that.
So when you're driving around at a speed where it would ordinarily be can't decide between whether it wants to be in third or fourth gear, you force it to stay in third gear and not go any higher.
If you don't engage the button.
If you don't engage it, right.
Correct.
But when you do engage the overdrive button, and you go at the right speed, whatever it is for this car, maybe 30 miles an hour or 34 miles an hour, it'll shift to third, then up to fourth, and then if you slow down a mile an hour, it'll shift back to third, and you think that that's bad for the car. And Mom doesn't do this, and she hasn't even noticed that her car does upshift and downshift, maybe because she drives a car that shifts a lot better than yours.
Okay.
But if you think that it's doing good for your car, then you should continue to do it.
I'm going to continue to do it.
I know you are, because you sound like a very stubborn individual.
I'd like to tell you you're wrong there, but...
Yeah, no, I know. Your mother already talked to us.
Yeah, she just called a few minutes ago. No, I mean, what the overdrive... The only purpose of the overdrive is to get you into a higher gear. Exactly,
right.
But in your case, it's only fourth.
Okay.
And why do you want to do that? Because you use less fuel. And that's the only thing it does.
Okay.
Because when you get into the higher speeds, it doesn't take as much energy to keep you moving.
So it's really about fuel efficiency.
So it's only about fuel efficiency. So your observation that it does something when you're slowing down below 20 miles an hour is complete nonsense, Melissa. It makes no sense, but if it makes you feel better and justifies what you've done, then you go right ahead and keep thinking it.
Thank you. I needed Tom Ray validation. Thank you so much.
I love you.
Thanks for your help.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks a lot, Melissa.
See you, Melissa.
She's
Bye.
Fun.
Bye-bye.
I liked Melissa, and I would have coffee with her. If she was buying, right.
Well, it's happened again. You've evaporated another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Carton Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumphant slam dunk at the Cape Ann Donut Toss, is John Bugsy Lawler.
A slam dunk?
Yes, dunk. Get it?
Dunk.
Donuts.
Get it, man. Dunk.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge and Overa. The receptionist at our Bombay office is Vishnu Hadnakum. Our staff disciplinarian is, our mortgage loan consultant is Nora Lenderby, and our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our director of customer rebates is Noah. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our director of Three Stooges Studies is Lee Iacocca. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Lewis Dewey, known to the obnoxious mimes in Harvard Square as... Thanks so much for listening. We're Clicked and Clacked, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1333, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a brand new advice section about how to sell your car yourself.
That's easy. Wear a mask.
Actually, there's plenty of useful information here to help you decide whether to sell the car yourself, how to prepare it for sale, how to price it.
Does it have a list of mask manufacturers?
Yeah, it has that too. Check out the brand new section of How to Sell Your Car Yourself all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though St. Jude, the patron saint of lost causes, applies for a reassignment, whenever we say it, this is NPR.